Ganesh Cheesh for being here with us today. You are listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Happy to have you here with us. You know, they say that good things come in small packages. And the annual 12 by 12 community art exhibition at the City Museum is really a case in point. Art literally popping out of a 12 by 12 square. And joining us to talk about this year's exhibit, which will be a First Friday event this week, is Nico Sanguinetti. She is curator of collections and exhibits at the Juno Douglas City Museum. So I understand that you have just come from sort of unpacking these exhibits and staging them for Friday night. How exciting was that? Like Christmas, maybe?
Always exciting because people drop them off the week before, so we don't always have time to look through every submission. So being able to flip the gallery and starting to lay out the exhibit is always fun, always exciting to see what art we have this year.
You know, maybe you could start off by talking about the concept of the 12 by 12s, because I've looked at some of the examples that the museum has used to promote the exhibit, and there's just a lot in 12 by 12.
Definitely. So the concept was originally created by Ellen Carley, who was the curator of collections and exhibits in 2005, and she's now the conservator down at the State Museum. And the concept has evolved over time, but originally they asked local artists to participate in this artistic experiment. And they blocked off parts of the gallery from the floor to the ceiling. And the artists were given 4 days to create something within their little space. And they could choose what height it was at. They could choose if things protruded from the wall. And they laid out a 12 by 12 square with some painter's tape. And they created. And it was open to the public, and people could watch the artists create. And then afterwards, it was all wiped clean for the next exhibit. So we've changed a little bit since then. Now we ask the artists to create on their own and then bring their pieces in. However, it remains a community endeavor and open to anyone who lives in Juno and wants to create something loosely based on the topics we provide for the year and bring it to us, and it's on display for 6 weeks.
I am really glad that it is not going on the wall to be wiped out, especially seeing some of the examples that you've used to promote this. I mean, I would just love to have them on my wall, especially the one on the Northern Lights. So explain to me how every year there's a theme and how that's maybe a catalyst for community expression, maybe?
I think so. I'm not any kind of professional artist myself, but I think normally when you have a topic to work from, it's a great way to channel your creativity. So every year we do provide a theme for the artist to use as a jumping off point. It's not in any way constricting, and we have some that are very, very loosely related to the theme. But in tying into the whole community idea, the ideas for the next year's exhibit always come from the community themselves. So during the run of the show, I put out sheets of paper asking for community members to suggest new ideas for the next year. And then at the end of the exhibit, usually most of our staff gets together and we go through them and then think about which ones might be able to be used best for catalyzing that creativity, that spark here in town. Ones that are a little bit different, ones that might be open to interpretation. And I absolutely love it because not only does our community get to create the pieces that go into the show, but they're getting to decide what topics happen in the future. And I love listening to our other staff members because we all have very different ideas on what might be good jumping off points. I'm very much a concrete person. So last year was heritage. And for me, I thought that was a very easy idea to translate into art. But some of our other staff members are much more, I think, ephemeral in their thinking. And so for them, that was very constricting. So this year's topic of energy was much more open. And I was going, oh, that's too much openness for me. But for them, it was perfect. So I also love that aspect that you're thinking about different ways that our topics could be channeling this creativity in our town.
So the question about the energy topic is, you know, how did people sort of visualize that? And was there a lot of repetition, or was it surprisingly unique among the entrants?
Surprisingly unique. Each year when we have something that I think is a very literal topic, I'm always amazed at how people reflect that through their art. And there are some that are similar. So there's some on the Northern Lights, and there are some that are just really outside the box. And even ones that are similar are still very different. They're different media, they're different perspectives. So even ones that are similar are still very different. And I love how just open all of the pieces are, and they're very, very across the board. So you won't be seeing a very repetitive show, hopefully, when you come in to see it.
So this has been going on for 18 years. This is the 18th. So, and it's also open to people of all ages, from young folks to the gamut. So I'm presuming that since you open it up to young people, that some people may have grown up with this exhibit.
I hope so. I know we had some last year who were in middle school that submitted some pieces that were absolutely wonderful, and they grew up with it. And this year we don't have any youth submissions, but we're always looking for that. In the past, we've worked with some of the schools to create almost like a patchwork quilt of their pieces. So it is open to everyone of all ages, regardless of skill or style. So I always encourage folks who go, oh, I'm not a professional artist. That's okay. That's the whole point of the community art exhibit. And I'm always amazed at how many people who say they're not professional artists have some extreme talent that they're just hiding.
Well, do you think that this helps to cultivate talent in the community? I mean, it is a form of community expression, which is a beautiful piece of art in and of itself. But do you think that this opportunity to express kind of helps grow the overall Juneau art scene?
I'd like to think so. It gives people an opportunity who might never think of exhibiting anywhere, or perhaps wouldn't create a body of work, to host an entire exhibit, and lets them be involved and lets them display their work and encourages them to do so. I know we have constant people who submit, who at the end of each year, they go, what's the next topic? I'm ready to start. And I've heard from a lot of people, especially during the pandemic, that having a goal to create something with a deadline, with an exhibit, and even if it's just one piece, got them creating something and trying to make something, even when they're perhaps in their worst mental state. So I like to think that it helps bring our community together and helps foster that love of the arts that Juneau's so famous for.
And you can see why, when people are always scattering these seeds to cultivate that. Well, I have to ask, can you give us a sneak preview of what we're going to see this Friday? Maybe a few examples of things that caught your eye as you unpack them.
Definitely. Well, you saw the piece that was created by Mindy Henriksen, which is a quilted piece reflecting the Northern Lights, which is super unique. I love seeing, we're all enamored by the Northern Lights living up where we do, but she turned what we normally see in photographs into a fabric piece, which is absolutely lovely. We also have some mosaics. We have some calligraphy. We also have traditional paint. We also have some pen and ink. And we have some other fabric pieces as well. And we have at least one that's a bit more three-dimensional that pops out at you, which I quite enjoy. It was actually created by one of our staff members, Alyssa Borges, who's curator of public programs, who's normally on the radio in place of me. But the overall look is they're all unique and different takes on energy in a huge array of media, which I always love. I love seeing the different media that people are able to create art through instead of just the same over and over again.
So in the future, you'll probably be more receptive to a wide open theme.
Oh, definitely. I'm always open to the different ideas. I just love hearing what other people find creatively stimulating for them, because what works for one person doesn't always work for the other. And I love seeing how something that I don't think is easily translatable, really connects with other people, which is fantastic. I mean, that's the whole point of art, isn't it?
That's absolutely true. And that's what makes it wonderful. And just to know that you could have all those different takes on one theme. So what do we need to know if we want to take in this exhibit at the museum on First Friday? I know we're still coming out of COVID. Are there some things we need to think about?
Really, the general rules are still in effect at the moment. We're a city facility, so we are still requiring masking. However, there aren't limitations on visitors, so we'll be open throughout the day, but our First Friday event will start at 4:30 and will be open to 7, and it will be open for any and all who wish to see the community art. And the rest of our museum is also open. So if you take a look through the 12x12 exhibit and want to stay and have a look at some of our other galleries, which a few have gotten recent updates throughout the pandemic, feel free to take a look and see what's new and changed and updated at the City Museum.
Well, I guess everybody has been wondering about the totem pole. And when apparently it's going to be moved or has it already been moved? I haven't been downtown lately. To the Capitol.
Oh, yes, it has already been moved. It's actually already on site in the state office building in the atrium. So it's been sitting on display.
So tell us about how that's going to be commemorated, this big move, because for years it's kind of been an icon for the museum.
Definitely. So it used to stand outside of Centennial Hall with its partner, the Ok Tribe Pole, and the Ok totem pole is now inside JDHS, but the Wushkiton totem pole, which came down a little bit later outside of Centennial Hall, was taken down in 2016 due to preservation concerns. Obviously, it's made of wood, and standing outside of Centennial Hall, it gets the brunt of the wind and the rain that downtown Juneau is famous for. And so its new home is going to be the State Office Building atrium, and it's already been moved over there, as I mentioned, but we're getting ready to raise it on Friday, March 11th, and it is very exciting. And there's going to be a ceremony following the raising at 1 o'clock p.m., and we will be live streaming it. K2 is partnering with us and being ever so helpful in live streaming the ceremony itself, which will run from about 1 to 4 p.m.
So what,
and that link will be available for us.
So that's wonderful. So what do you think, you know, the ceremony is going to take into consideration and highlight about this totem pole story?
So the ceremony is going to be a joint production between the city, the state, and Wushkiton, the people whose Kutia it represents, or who the Kutia represents. And it will mostly be a recognition of the re-raising, because it did already receive an original raising ceremony. So it won't be as large as an original raising of a new totem pole, but it's recognizing its life and its importance to the history of Juneau, as it was one of the two totem poles carved to represent the Juneau Centennial in 1980, and was carved by Nathan Jackson, who is still creating amazing works of art. So it will be honoring that story and its representation of Juneau history, as well as the work of Nathan Jackson and the figures that were guided by Yanishtuk George Jim Sr., who is an elder from Yangon. And so we're also going to be recognizing Nathan Jackson and his work on the totem pole and the various family members that the totem pole represents and who feel connected to this important piece of Juneau history. And we're very, very excited that it's able to be back on display. It's an interesting thing with totem poles, because originally speaking, they would have a lifespan. They'd be carved, they'd be risen, and then they'd fall. And when museums come into the picture, and our general mandate is to preserve anything that comes into our collection in perpetuity, which is difficult when you have objects that were meant to live and die. So we're very happy to be partnering with Wushkiton, and Kennedy is also helping with the opposite, and to be working with the state of Alaska to continue the lifespan of the totem pole while still respecting its life and its history. So that's mostly what you're going to be seeing at that ceremony.
So will Nathan Jackson be here from Ketchikan?
He will. We're very excited. Oh. And so he should be speaking.
Oh, how exciting. How exciting. That sounds like an event not to miss. Definitely history in and of itself. Well, speaking of history, I wanted to ask you about this history grant that you have. There's an application deadline for that.
There is. The history grant deadline is April 3rd. And the important thing for the history grant is it's generally for people who are working on a project of historical significance, and they don't need to be have the project completed. So this will be an application for a grant to help the project either start or continue or finish. So if you're working on something like that, make sure you reach out to the Juneau Douglas City Museum, as we might be able to help you with your project.
And also, I guess one other thing that we should talk about too is this Marie Darlin Prize. The nomination deadline is coming up on April 3rd. I know a lot of artists might want to know about that.
Definitely. So different than the history grant, the Marie Darlin Prize is recognition for a project that's been completed. And anyone can nominate anyone else for this prize. The person who completed the project does not have to be the one doing the nominating. So if you know someone in Juneau that's been working on a culturally or historically significant project, make sure to apply and submit their names for the Marie Darlin Prize. And the nomination forms and instructions on how to complete that are all available on our website. And if you have any questions, you're always welcome to give the museum a call, and we can help guide you through it.
All right. So in closing out here, you want to recap the vital stats for this First Friday?
Definitely. So our First Friday event is going to be starting at 4:30 this Friday, and we'll run through 7, and is going to feature our local community artists and highlight the idea of energy in our community. And we also wanted to thank for this month the Pioneer Igloo number 6, who has been our March free admission sponsor. During the winter time, we offer free admission to any visitors, and it's all done through generous donations from people in our community. And so this month, March, is being sponsored by Pioneer Igloo number 6.
That is wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Nico Sanguinetti. She is the curator of collections and exhibits at the Juneau Douglas City Museum. Thank you for being here with us today, and hope that our conversation generates some interest in this First Friday exhibit.
Thanks for having me. We hope to see everyone at the 12 by 12 First Friday at 4:30 this Friday.
All right. Thanks so much.